likes game shows? We got a few. Who here doesn't like game shows? Well, I've got bad news for everybody who raised their hands. Today, you've made it to my game show. Once we get my slides up here, we will join into my game. This game is pretty simple. It's called Bible or Not Bible. This game was invented or created, or at least I participated in it, during a men's retreat a number of years ago, and I got to help implement it, and it was great fun to watch people squirm, especially when we got the elders from our church sitting up there, different church when we were up in Tucson, and you got to sit there, and they were like, the pressure was on to get the questions right. And so this morning we're going to play this game about Bible or not Bible. It's a pretty simple game. We're going to put a question on the screen, and then I will ask you guys if it's in the Bible or if it's not in the Bible. All right, here we go. First question, please. Neither a borrower nor a lender be. What do we think? Is this in the Bible? Not in the Bible. Got a few not Bibles. Answer, not in the Bible. This is actually from Shakespeare. For those of you that said Shakespeare, good job. Bonus points to you. Next question, please. To love another person is to see the face of God. What do we think? Bible? Bible? Not Bible. Who thinks not Bible? See the answer. It's actually from Les Mis. You're close. Good job. All right, next one. Without oxen, a stable stays clean. While true, is it in the Bible or not Bible? Not Bible? I heard some not Bibles. How about Bible? I heard some Bibles. What do we think? Next, go ahead and move forward. Proverbs 14:4, truncated to make it way less obvious. Next question. God works in mysterious ways. What do we think? Is this in the Bible? In the Bible? Not in the Bible. Let's see the answer. Not in the Bible. Although God's ways are mysterious and they're not our ways, you can see that in Isaiah, but the Lord does not work in mysterious ways, it's not in the Bible. Next question, hate the sin and not the sinner. Bible? Bible, not Bible. We got some not Bibles. Let's see the answer. It's actually from Gandhi. Not Bible. Next question. The wolf and the lamb shall live together. What do we think? Bible? We got some Bibles, not Bibles? Got some not Bibles? What's the answer? Please. Isaiah 11, and similar thought in Isaiah 65. About the wolf and the lamb. Next one. Cleanliness is next to godliness. All you kids, sit up, pay attention. Let's find out if this is in the Bible or not when your parents tell you it's time to clean. What do we think, Bible? No? Not Bible. What's the answer? Oh, we all saw it. It is not Bible, and the source is unknown where that came from. Next question. God won't give you more than you can handle. What do we think, Bible? Bible? Not Bible. Not Bible. Well, stick around. That's what we're talking about today. You'll find out. Please open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. We'll answer this question at the end, if I remember to. So, we'll find out. Go ahead and open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. If this is your first week joining with us, we are starting in the book of Joshua. Last week, Ace gave us a high-level view of what the events were leading up to the book of Joshua and what is the book of Joshua. That message was titled, From Promise to possession. I apologize. I am not in the right setting here. There we go. That's going to work better. It's on our website. If you missed it, I would recommend it. It's a great foundation to what we will be going through. And it got us caught up to where the Israelites are at now. They're getting ready to cross into the Promised Land. They just finished up their 40 years of additional time from their lack of faith. It also told us what happened to Moses. Spoilers, he died. There you go. And he also told us a little bit about who is Joshua, the son of Nun. I am Joshua, the son of Jeff. I was talked about last week, so here I am. I'll be talking about Joshua, the son of Nun. When we first introduced this, they said, what do we think? We want to go through the book of Joshua. And every time they said it, I was like, what? 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 I was like, oh, this is going to be hard. they're like, what do you think, Joshua? Huh? No, me or them? Or wait, okay. So I'll try to keep it straight this morning for you. All right, so the first chapter in the book of Joshua, we really don't get to see much of the man Joshua, the son of Nun. But the little bit that we do get to see of him, we get to know a little bit about who he is and his character. We get to see his faith in God is demonstrated from a very early time. And the reason we get to see this is because he's alive. You see, there's a thing called the Passover that happened as the slaves were getting ready to leave Egypt. And since Joshua was alive, it demonstrates that he had faith in God and he obeyed the commands to survive the Passover. If you want to read about that, you can read about that in Exodus 11 through 12. The first time we get to see Joshua is in his military skill. And we get to see that demonstrated in the first battle that the Israelites fought against Amalek. And at that moment, we get to see that God had a plan for Joshua, starting all the way back then. If we look at Exodus chapter 17, right after that battle, Exodus 17, verse 13 through 14, it says, "And Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Write this in a book as a memorial and recite it to Joshua, that I will utterly wipe out the memory of Amalek from under heaven.'" That word recite there means to like put in his ear, to remind him of. And we begin to see the beginning work of God's plan for Joshua, that he had a special purpose for him even all the way back then. The next thing that we get to see is his humility. He moves into the role and becomes Moses' servant or aid or assistant, depending on which version of the Bible you're reading. If you look at Exodus 24, verse 13, it says, "So Moses got up along with Joshua, his servant, and Moses went up to the mountain of God." So we already see this role that is being carved out and the position that he begins to fill underneath Moses all the way back in Exodus 24. The next thing that we see from him is his trustworthiness. You see, Moses, and we talked about this during Sunday school a little bit, which I thought was fun, and it wasn't even by intent, I promise, was that Moses would meet with God and in the tent. And then when he wasn't there, Joshua would guard that tent. If we look at Exodus 33, verse 11, it says, "So the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses returned to the camp, his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent." So it was his job to protect the tent, to guard it. So we see his trustworthiness. His faith in God again shows up when he, Caleb, and Moses stood against millions of Israelites. After the spies went into Canaan and they come back out, and 10 of them said, "We cannot go, it is too much for us." And Joshua, Caleb, and Moses stood in front of a sea of people and said, "No, God is bigger than this, we need to go." But they chose to be rebellious to God and served 40 years while a generation died off in the desert for that. And through that, we actually get to see his patience. I never thought about it before, but when I was studying this out, Joshua didn't have to stay. He wasn't trapped where he was. He could have been like, "You wicked, rebellious people, I'm going somewhere else." He's a man of military skill. He's a leader of millions of people. His resume writes itself. Any kingdom would have been happy to put him in as a general. He could have left. He could have gone on his own. He could have done something else. But he didn't. He patiently waited for God's timing. And he stuck it out. So what we see is that God was preparing Joshua for his coming role. This wasn't out of the blue. This wasn't a big surprise. As my dad read earlier this morning, Moses knew he was going to not see the promised land. So Moses was discipling him, was preparing him. How do you think that influenced how he poured into Joshua knowing that he wasn't going to see the promised land? Do you look at good business practice, when you look at handing over a business and you study this out, they say you should know it well beforehand. You should make your plan 10 years in advance, minimum, to plan the handoff of a business and to do this well and to train up the people so that when that person becomes the leader of the business, people go, "Oh, I thought he already was, or I thought she already was." That's good handoff, not the phrase that I've heard before is as the leader of the business dies, they throw their keys to the business as they fall into the grave. That's not what we're looking for in a good handoff of leadership. But what we see here is that Moses knew for years that he wasn't going into the promised land. And he trained and poured into Joshua. This was not a surprise for anybody involved. So this is the man, Joshua, the son of Nun. As the book of Joshua opens, he had a lot on his mind. He had a lot of things he could worry about. You see, his friend, his leader, his mentor had just died. 40 plus years of following a man, he's no longer there. He just watched a generation of people pay for their sins and die in the desert. Because the last time they tried to enter the promised land, they rebelled. You don't think that was in his head as they get back to the river? Here we go again. I wonder what they're going to do. I'm sure that was churning in the back of his head. He had a river to cross. And I know this is a weird concept for us, but the river actually had like water in it. And that actually would be like harder to cross. You know, those of us who look at a river, that's a thing on a map. And then some sand, that's an Arizona river. But he actually had water he had to deal with and contend with. There was battles to come, and he knew it. The people to lead, and he knew how stubborn and rebellious they could be. And he had big shoes to fill. I know Moses was just a man, but he was the man who met with God. His face glowed from being in the presence of God. You don't think that that was in Joshua's head as he thinks, oh, this is my job now? Whoa, this guy met with God, and now it's my job? Have you ever felt like what was in front of you was too big? The grief that you have to walk through, the pain to walk through, emotional or physical or mental pain, the decisions that you have to make are more than you can do. I'm sure that Joshua felt this way at times. I know that I have. In fact, this week I felt that way. I had a great plan. You see, I knew I was speaking today. It was on my calendar. And I was planning for this, so I set up my week carefully. I made sure that I didn't have too much at work so that I would have time when I got home to process and work on this so I would be well ahead of things. And then I got sick. And work was a little busier than planned. And I ended each day exhausted with little ability to process coherent thoughts. I went to bed Friday night discouraged and worn out. You see, I have my eyes on the river. I have my eyes on the people. I have my eyes on the problem. So when I woke up on Saturday, still not feeling 100%, this would be yesterday, I sat down to study for this message, and I realized, I've had my eyes in the wrong place. Here I am getting ready to teach about God's encouragement for his servant, Joshua. I mean, can it get more on point? And I'm discouraged by my problems that I've got to share God's word. Oh, no. I don't have a river to cross. I don't have a people to lead. I don't have battles to fight. The irony was not lost on this Joshua. Here I am discouraged by life's problems and not encouraged by our incredible God's encouragement that we find in this passage. So I hope that you listened at the beginning and you turned to Joshua chapter 1, because now we're going to read it. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. So now arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your footsteps, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. Verse 4. From the wilderness and this great Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea, toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No one will be able to oppose you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not desert you nor abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may achieve success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will achieve success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your word, and what an amazing encouragement it is for us. I pray that we keep our eyes fixed on you and not on the problems that are in front of us. I pray that today we are encouraged by your word and that we become a people who meditate on your word day and night. I desperately desire to be a man who walks with you and grows in my relationship with you, and I desperately pray that for these people. And mostly, I pray that these are not my words, but yours. I pray all these things in your son's name. Amen. All right, we got a memory verse. We already had the kids sing it. Thank you guys so much. You did an excellent job. I had a thought. I was like, one day what we should do is we should make all the adults go up front and do hand motions, make the kids sit out here. But then I realized that would make it be me up there. So I was like, you know what? Never mind. So instead of that, we're going to say this together. Let's go ahead and say it together. Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. All right, the title of this morning's message is God's Encouraging Promise, Power, and Presence. Let's start right off in point number one, looking at verses 1 through 2. This is God's commission for Joshua. Verse 1 says, Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. So now arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Now, this may not feel like much of a commissioning statement, right? There's a reason, because Joshua had already been commissioned. If we go back and look at Deuteronomy 31, Moses commissioned Joshua in front of all of Israel. 31 verse 7 says, Then Moses called to Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and courageous. For you will go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you will give it to them as an inheritance. And the Lord is the one who is going ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not desert you or abandon you. Do not fear and do not be dismayed. And then even further down in that chapter, God himself commissions Joshua in front of all of Israel. In verse 23, chapter 31, it says, Then he, capital H, God, commissioned Joshua, the son of Nun, and said, Be strong and courageous, for you will bring the sons of Israel into the land which I swore to them, and I will be with you. So you see, verse 1 and 2 of the book of Joshua is God reminding him of that commission. It's time to go to work. You know what you got to do. See, God knows exactly where Joshua is at. So he starts into this encouragement. The way I thought of this as I was thinking about it, it's like the second string quarterback on a football team. You know you got to play sometime. You practice and you prepare and you get ready, and now it's time. The first string quarterback's gone. And so the coach pulls you aside and says, You remember, this is what you trained for. Remember, this is your job. Remember, this is where we're going. So now it's time to get to work. That's verse 1 through 2. Point number 2, God's encouragement from his promises. So now the coach, talking to Joshua, starts encouraging his leader. Verse 3 through 6. Verse 3 says, Every place on which the sole of your foot steps, I have given it to you. Past tense, it's done. Just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness in this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, as far as the great sea, toward the setting of the sun will be your territory. No one will be able to oppose you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not desert you nor abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Now, this is what Ace was talking about last week, right? From promise to possession. This land was promised by God to the Israelites. Every place on which the sole of your footsteps, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. Can you imagine what that meant to Joshua? Because he was there. He watched Moses write this down. He's read what Moses has written down. And we can read what Moses wrote down. in Numbers 34. Now, I'm going to try to do this. If we can go ahead and move to the next, it should be a map. Thank you. So we're going to read Numbers. So if you can turn to Numbers 34 with me, you can follow along. And I promise every word and city is going to be pronounced perfectly. Just don't ask me to do it twice. All right. So this is the big map. This is the land they're getting ready to walk into. And then what I did is I split it in half. Can we go to the next slide, please? So this is the bottom half. And I was hoping, looks like it's fairly-ish. You can read it, I think. All right. And then we'll move to the second half. All right. So Numbers 34, we're going to read through this. And the Lord said to Moses, saying, command the sons of Israel and say to them, when you enter the land of Canaan, this is the land that shall fall to you as an inheritance. That is the land of Canaan according to its borders. Your southern region, Your southern region, which is the region we're looking at right here, shall extend from the wilderness of Zin. You see the wilderness of Zin, bottom left? It says wilderness of Zin. The wilderness of Zin along the side of Edom. Edom just got cut off there, but it says E-D-O-M right there. And your southern border shall extend from the end of the Salt Sea eastward. So the Salt Sea is also known as the Dead Sea. See my note there? Same place, so Dead Sea. And this purple line is actually this boundary that someone else created for me. So we're going out from the Salt Sea a little bit to the east, and we start cutting back towards Kadesh Barnea. Salt Sea eastward, verse 4. Then your border shall change direction from the south to the ascent of Akrabim and continue to Zin. You know where the territory of Zin is. We don't know exactly where Zin itself is. And its termination shall be south of Kadesh Barnea. So Kadesh Barnea is right there in the bottom where that red line starts. And that red line, for fun note, if you didn't, you couldn't see the key, what's that called? Yeah, map key. That's actually the path that the spies took. So that's the way they went up. So that's just interesting. And I'm going to guess, I'm not going to speak for all the other Bible guys, but we're probably going to be looking at a lot of maps as we go through the book of Joshua. So get this in your heads. Memorize it. I'm just kidding. All right. So we're going to go from Kadesh Barnea. That's the bottom left there, right where that red line ends. And it shall reach Hazar-Adar and continue to Asmon. Then the border shall change direction from Asmon to the Brook of Egypt, which is on the left-hand side there. You can see the Brook of Egypt. And it shall continue, and its termination shall be at the sea, which is the Mediterranean, right there. As for the western border, this one's really easy. You shall have the Great Sea, also known as the Mediterranean. So if you go back to one more slide backwards, see the whole thing? That whole western border there is the Mediterranean Sea. So that one's simple. We got that one covered. Two slides forward. Now we're going to look at the northern section. Thank you. I didn't prep the guys about this. I forgot to. I was sitting there realizing I didn't prep them for this. So they're following along as best as you guys are. So as for the western border, you shall have the Great Sea, that is its coastline. This shall be your western border. Verse 7, this shall be your northern border. You shall draw your boundary from the Great Sea, again, the Mediterranean, to Mount Hor, which you can see in the top corner there. There's a little symbol that says Mount Hor. Okay. So then, you shall draw a boundary from Mount Hor to Lebo Hamath, and the termination of the border shall be at Zedad. So you can kind of see Zedad show up there, and we're going to walk along here a little bit. The border shall proceed to Ziphron, and its termination shall be at Hazar Enan, and this shall be your northern border. So that's the whole top. Now, some of these, you'll see some question marks on them. If you can see that, that's because we don't know the exact location of where they are. If they don't have a question mark, we do know the exact location. So some of these are a little bit of people who have studied this out and tried to figure out exactly where some of these places are. But most of them we do know. So for your eastern border, you shall draw a boundary from Hazar Enan to Shechem. And the border shall go down from Shechem to Riblah to the east side of Ain, A-I-N, which we can just barely see in the bottom of the screen right there next to the Sea of Galilee. Next to the, where it says, note the Sea of Chinnereth equals the Sea of Galilee, right there to the left of it. That's A-I-N, Ain. And the border shall go down and reach the slope to the east side of the Sea of Chinnereth. And again, the Sea of Chinnereth is also known as the Sea of Galilee. And the border shall go down to the Jordan, and its termination shall be at the Salt Sea, also the Dead Sea. This shall be your land according to its borders on all sides. So go, next slide should be all of it again, okay? So this is the region we're looking at. That is what was promised to them, mapped out, given to them by God to Moses, all the way back in the book of Numbers. And just as a side note here, this is something we talk about in Sunday school all the time, but these details that we get to dive into and understand and thankfully rely on other people doing super cool, nerdy stuff around the Bible, is one of the things that we can know that the Bible is trustworthy, that it's verified, that it's true. If you were writing a false account, you wouldn't include details people could track out against you. because then you would lose. You'd be like, oh, whoops. So you would do lots of, you know, generalities. But this is very specific, and we can actually map it out. In fact, last week, Ace did the same thing, looking at someone's timeline, looking at how a timeline can be built based on the dates and the ages that were given in the Bible. And we looked at that in detail. Again, just another point to Scripture and the truth of Scripture. So God reminds Joshua that he is going to give him the land just like he promised to Moses, just like this is here. He also promised to Israel the same language as to Joshua, that he gives to Joshua. If we look at Deuteronomy 11, verse 24, it says, every place on which the sole of your footsteps shall be yours. Same language there. Your border will be from the wilderness of Lebanon and from the river and the river Euphrates as far as the western sea. Now, a small note about the river Euphrates. I did some digging into this, and the answer is we don't have a great answer. The river Euphrates is actually out of the scene of that map. It's further north, and then it cuts much further to the east. Some people speculate that there was multiple tributaries of the Euphrates, or that it is a future promise of what Israel will take. But we don't exactly know why that is not inside that window. But that is what we understand there. So, pay attention to the words of the rest of this encouragement from God's promises back to Joshua chapter 1, verse 5 through 6. Verse 5 says, just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not desert you nor abandon you. Just as I have been with Moses. You see, Joshua, he just shows up on the scene for us, but he's been working with Moses for over 40 years. He's seen some amazing things that were done by God through Moses, right? We see all the plagues in Egypt. I'm sure Joshua participated. He was around them, right? He saw them, happen. Then they left, and he got to walk through on dry ground through the Red Sea. Then we see water coming from rocks. We see the victory over Amalek where Moses had to keep his hands up the whole battle. We see bitter water turned into clean water. And as we've already talked about, I mean, the dude's face glowed. And God says, just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. And with all of that in mind, we get to verse 6, and it says, be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. What an incredible promise. What an encouragement that must have been to Joshua as he stands there trying to figure out how he's going to move forward without Moses. Point number 3, verses 7 and 8, God's encouragement from the power of the word. Joshua 1, verse 7 says, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may achieve success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will achieve success. I'm sure you guys noticed, like I did, that this one says, be strong and very courageous. In fact, I did some looking into this. This is the only time that phrase, very courageous, shows up in Scripture at all. It's actually the same word that God uses when he created man in God's image, and he said, it was very good. This indicates that obeying God's word faithfully and fully requires greater strength of character than to conquer the land. Be careful to do what the law says. Do not turn from the right or to the left, and do not let the word depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so you may be careful to do everything that is written. And verse 7 says, so that you may achieve success wherever you go. Now, we have to be really careful here when we start reading the Old Testament. See, we've been in the New Testament for quite a bit of time, studying through the New Testament. And the New Testament is kind of easy because it was written for the church, about the church, and to the church. And guess what? We are the church. So when you read something in the New Testament, it applies to the church. But when we read something in the Old Testament, we have to be very careful to make sure that it applies to us and how it applies to us. You see, some of the promises in the Old Testament were specific to the Israelites in their situation. So we can apply the principle of the promise, and we can look to the New Testament and see how it affirms that promise to us. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it applies directly to us. So verse 7 and 8, both are talking about achieving success wherever you go. Does that mean that if you read the Word of God, that you will achieve success in everything that you do? This is a specific promise to Joshua about leading the invasion into Canaan. It's not a truth that we can directly apply to our lives today. We can apply the principle, but not the direct promise. When we look at the New Testament, we can find correlative statements. So we look at James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. It says, "But prove yourselves to be doers of the word and not just hearers who deceive themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looked intently at the perfect law, the law of freedom, and has continued in it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an active doer, this person will be blessed in what he does." So the promise that was made to Joshua are specific to his situation, but we can see that the principle of the promise in the book of James, and we can take courage and be an active doer, and we'll be blessed in what we do. It made me start thinking, it's like, are you meditating on the Word of God? So then I started asking the follow-up question, how do you meditate on the Word of God? You know, you think about meditation, right? It's like, clear your mind, right? Some people probably thought of Zootopia right now. If you didn't, you're welcome. But how do you meditate on the Word of God? You got to think about what you're inputting into your life. What kind of music are you listening to? Who are you following on social media? What kind of people are you talking to? What's on in the background? What kind of books are you reading? What input is coming in? What TV shows are you watching? Are they helping you meditate on the Word of God? It's pretty hard to find TV shows that help you meditate on the Word of God, let me tell you. Or are they taking you away from God? Are you an active doer? Or are you a forgetful hearer? And I don't know about you, but I'm both. I'm trying really hard to be more of an active doer and less of a forgetful hearer. We should strive for that. Point number 4, verse 9, God's encouragement of his presence. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Have I not commanded you? We've seen the command over and over again in this chapter and back in Deuteronomy. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be dismayed. How on earth can Joshua not be terrified or dismayed? He's got a river to cross. He's got people to lead. He's got battles to win. The walls of Jericho are thick. He has been in the land himself. He saw the people. How can he not be afraid? For the Lord, your God, is with you wherever you go. This is a promise in the Old Testament, right? We just talked about this. To not be terrified or dismayed because the Lord our God is with us wherever we go. Since it's a promise in the Old Testament, we need to look at this carefully. Can we apply this in principle, or is this a promise affirmed in the New Testament? Good news. We have the same promise. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Verse 5 says, "Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, 'I will not desert you, nor will I ever abandon you.' So that we confidently say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me?'" What an encouragement for us today that we can apply. Joshua was facing a huge task. And in the coming weeks and months, we're going to look at that task in detail. He could easily have ended up staring at the river, staring at the walls, the battles, the people, the failures of the past. But God encourages him. God commissioned him for this job. God promised this land to his people. God's word is powerful and will equip and guide him. And God's presence will be with him wherever he goes. So, Bible, not Bible. What do we think? God won't give you more than you can handle. Go ahead and show us the answer. Not Bible. But wait a minute. I've read that in the Bible, haven't I? 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except something common to mankind, and God is faithful, so he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape so that you will be able to endure it. God will give you more than you can handle, but he will not give you more temptation than you can handle. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. God gives us more than we can handle on our own. But when we remember his promises, we do not stray to the right or to the left, but we remain focused on his word, and we remember that God is with us, then we can do anything through him who strengthens us. So how about you? Are your eyes on the river, the walls, the people, the past? How are you handling things that are too big for you to handle? Are you binge eating chocolate? Are you doom scrolling on social media? Sleepless nights? Too much coffee? Stress? Worry? You see, when we stare at the impossible, we lose courage. But when we stare at God, on his promises, on the power of his word, and his presence with us, the impossible is what he does. So please take some time this week to remember what God has done for you. Write them down, the answered prayers, his faithfulness. Make a memorial, write it down. You can look back and be reminded that God has faithfully provided for you. Would the men please come forward for communion? As we continue our study in the book of Joshua, we will see times when the people set up memorials to remind themselves and the next generations of God's provision. This morning, we're going to get to participate in just that, a memorial, a reminder of God's provision. Far more powerful than a stack of stones next to a river, but this is the reminder that Christ himself gave us. Let's go ahead and pray for the bread. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for the incredible promises that we find in your word, the encouragement that we are not doing this alone, but that we have you and we get to walk in that. Thank you for the reminder of communion, that you died on the cross for us. Thank you for the bread. And I just pray that you will bless our time together. In your son's name, amen.